League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
There he is. Hood on. In studio. DJ Bienemé, ESPN. Have you ever done that? Tagged out on ESPN with a ESPN.
I've done that. I think like once or maybe twice.
Oh, nice! You added a little flair to it. I like it.
Yeah. No, but they require us to do it.
I know you have to say ESPN, but yeah. I was wondering if you've ever done it ESPN.
Oh, like that? Oh, no. I'm not a cornball.
Why not?
You're not a cornball. Easy. That got Robert Griffin III fired from ESPN. Allegedly.
No, that was Rob Parker.
Oh, he called
different
RG3.
Rob. Different Rob.
Gotcha. Yes. Gotcha.
To RG3.
He blocked me on Twitter, Rob Parker.
I love Rob.
He should unblock me on Twitter.
You're probably trolling him.
Well, I miss his terrible takes. It's some of the worst things I've ever seen.
He has some entertaining takes. I'll say that.
What a spin.
They're very entertaining, yes.
So we're actually in for some real entertaining football, man, Sunday,
finally,
in Indianapolis.
Woo.
It's the Texans, it's the Colts. I feel like we got to start off with this.
Yeah.
Going into this offseason, you were very bullish on the Indianapolis Colts. You picked them to win the AFC South. But again, predictions can be changed until tomorrow at about 7 p.m. You still sticking with the Colts, or have things changed this training camp?
Nah, I flipped it. Mainly because just seeing what I saw during training camp from the Texans offense, then reading the reports regarding Anthony Richardson during their camp, it wasn't like I read a lot of solid. Solid isn't going to be enough. You know what I mean? Like Gardner Minshew was solid last year, or some people might think he was below average, but whatever. Like solid isn't going to be enough this season, I think, for them to win a division. Like they're going to need Anthony Richardson to kind of be good, like to be like good for them to win a division. So the report, I mean, like the joint practice with the Bengals, when they're saying, does this, you know, one DB said, is all this guy does is run. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he was struggling to throw the football. I saw another stat today that was kind of, like, made me really, like, step back. He only has 17 starts since high school. Like, that's just not a lot of reps. And that's what kind of, like, doomed Trey Lance. That's what kind of doomed Davis Mills, right? Well, if you don't have a lot of starts in your career post-high school, it's just hard to then play at a high enough level to win meaningful games in the NFL.
So what from the Texan side, though? Did the Texan side of it change? Just seeing them in camp? Was it the defense, the offense, that also made you more confident they'll win the division, or is just what you were more hearing about the Colts?
Yeah, I'd say a combination of both. Again, like, you know, from the early August practice from Cleveland all the way through the rest of training camp, the offense was starting to click. They were starting to make more plays. They were starting to flash what would make you think, okay, this could be a legitimate playoff team, a division, you know, win a division, things of that nature. I think that, you know, I still have some skepticism overall regarding the depth on this roster, but obviously if they're healthy, they'll be fine. But I'm still worried about the schedule. The schedule is still going to be tough. It's going to be tough as nails. So I think, you know, like they would probably have to go 4-2 in the division to where, like, the division will be kind of like cakewalk-ish.
I figure that you are, at the very least, about to make season predictions for ESPN. And while we're talking about this record, this schedule, again, it's Wednesday. You got until tomorrow, I'm assuming, to make it. I think those are the rules. As long as you get it in by Chiefs-Ravens tomorrow night, it's fine. Where do you see them finishing? Both from a win-loss perspective and the actual ceiling for this team this year?
So I think ceiling-wise, I think they can get to the AFC Championship game. I think I'd be too much of a hater if I said that their ceiling is an AFC Championship game. I do think that I would predict they probably get to the divisional round and lose again either to Kansas City or Baltimore. I do think, you know, since they won the division, I have a home game. Whoever one of the wild card teams are going to be, they'll have a decided advantage against them. Like, I think if it's like Miami, like they'll at that point, I think, you know, Miami's offensive line is probably going to be a problem by that point. They'll be able to get after Tua. I think if they go against the Jets, their O line is super old, so I think they'll be, you know, kind of, you know, decapitated to an extent. And and like D'Amico, the last time Aaron played in a playoff game, D'Amico completely erased him. And I think one of the issues why it was easy to erase, slow down Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs was because he only could trust one receiver, which is Devontae, and I think the Jets only have one legitimate receiver that you can consistently trust. So I think that'd be an advantage, and then, you know, everybody else in.
So they're firmly in a tier with Baltimore and Kansas City, even if they're not as good as those two teams.
They're above
a bunch of the other good AFC teams that are at the very least competent operations.
Yeah, I mean, I would still kind of put them in that same bubble, though. I still put them in that same bubble, but it's like, because I think Kansas City and Baltimore are in like tiers by themselves. So they're just like.
So they're on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Until that, like, they have to go and show it, right? Like, both Ravens games last year were not competitive offensively, to say the least. And the Chiefs, until you beat the Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? I can't just say you're going to beat them. You got to actually do it, you know? Like, mm-hmm. they're a dynasty right now. So until you do it, I can't say, they'll beat the Chiefs.
What about individual accolades for predictions this season? You know, last year, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. D'Amico finished, second in coach of the year. When you fill out your predictions, are you going to be putting MVP, a coach of the year, a defensive player of the year?
Nah, I got Mahomes winning MVP. I think with the weapons that he has now, he's going to bounce back and probably go kind of stupid. But I think CJ probably could finish second or third.
Okay.
I think his stats are going to be pretty good. And I think the Texans should win like 10, 11 games. And that should be enough to get you some good votes. On the defensive side, I don't really see anybody win defensive player of the year. I would say as a legitimate shot, probably, it's probably Stingley. I think he's going to have like a great year and take the ball away a lot. So that'll give him a shot. On the offensive side, there's too many mouths to feed, so I doubt that they can have a guy go for an offensive player of the year. Because, again, like, you know, Tank, Diggs, Nico, they're all going to be able to eat. So it's going to be hard for one guy to have, like, a receiver or a running back. You basically got to get close to 2,000 yards of scrimmage or above that, and I just don't envision either one of those three guys doing that.
So those are our season predictions. I do want to focus on Sunday in Indianapolis. It was a very interesting series last year. Second game of the year, Anthony Richardson has two awesome drives, and then he gets hurt. And the Colts still hold off the Texans with Gardner Minshew under center. At the end of that game, C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense seemed to figure themselves out, and it carried forward the rest of the year.
Yep.
The last game of the year, it was a close one. You had a Texans offense that was really hamstrung. It was legitimately just Nico Collins and Stroud throwing it to him the first play of the game and as much as he could all game long versus a Colts team that did, I think, all they could to hang in there in spite of their quarterback, Gardner Minshew. And they go a fourth and one short of potentially beating the Texans and eliminating them from the playoffs. This year, there are some changes for both teams. Obviously, for the Houston Texans, a lot more in terms of notable changes. But Shane Steichen definitely seemed to have D'Amico Ryan's number to a degree last year. Did you get that vibe? You're making a face. I'm not getting the feeling you did.
What are we basing that off of?
I felt like in that first game
that
Shane Steichen's offense was something that the Texans defense wasn't ready for. With both of those quarterbacks. And I felt like the last time around, I feel like if Gardner Minshew can make, I don't know, like some of those throws that he was missing horribly on, like I think the Colts might have won that by 7+.
So I think, what?
Okay. I mean, a touchdown plus?
So I think that first game, preparing for one quarterback and then having a complete changeup, that can throw a defense off.
Because, for sure.
You know, they didn't have a chance to game plan against Gardner. And, you know, when Gardner gets out there, it's basically a new series of plays that he can now run. It's like another fresh opening script for a new quarterback after you've been game playing for his particular quarterback. Because Anthony and Gardner are so different. So I think that had more to do with that. Because in the second half, they were better compared to the first half, which is why like it gave CJ and company a chance to make it a game. where with one drive out, they were just able to get points. It could have been a one possession game, things of that nature. The second game, though, I mean, they got like 17 points total, so it's not like he was going crazy offensively. I mean, again, Gardner
Taylor probably, did at least.
Yeah, Taylor was going crazy, you know. So I mean, I wouldn't say he has his number. I do think it's going to be a really good chess match, and it's going to come down, in my opinion, this one is going to come down to who's more effective on third downs. I think they're both going to have, like, explosive. It's week one. Like, those happen. But who can execute better on third down specifically? Can D'Amico come up with a blitz scheme or some sim pressures that can throw off Anthony Richardson and make him hold the ball a little bit longer and then go into backyard football mode? Because if he's in backyard football mode majority of the game, the Texans should comfortably win that. But if Shane can keep Anthony Richardson, I guess, not on schedule, but give them easy throws on third downs, and they're able to stay on the field, now you're chewing up the clock, and you're keeping that potent offense on the sideline. So that's kind of where I'm at there.
In terms of the game, health-wise, we saw, Will Anderson come back?
Yeah, Will was practicing
today.
Yep.
So health-wise, going to this game for the Texans, because that's obviously very important, is there anything of note or concern that we need to be looking at, or is it full go for this team? Because it seems like it's full go.
Yeah, it's full go. I mean, you're missing the guys that are on IR, but outside of that, it's full go, right? Like, the guys that are going to determine whether you win this game or not are playing, right? And I think that's the most important thing. Like, I know no Christian Harris, no Kirk Heinisch, but those guys aren't determining whether you win or lose these games, you know? So, as long as you got your big three, the tackles, your ends, and Stingley, these are the guys that are going to determine whether you win games or not.
I am a little concerned about no Christian Harris for this one, mainly just because of how good Jonathan Taylor was. And this is not me saying, like, hey, Christian Harris is the single determinant of whether or not the Texans' run defense will be better this year, especially with the way that he finished the year. Harris had a really great last couple of games. But this is a team that, as we've discussed before, is maybe lacking defensive line depth with Nico Autry suspended, that did struggle to stop the run last year and is down one of its main linebackers from last year. I'm excited about Aziz Al-Shaair and everything he's going to potentially bring to the table. But Jonathan Taylor has been one of those thorns in this team's side
right
over the years. And I'm wondering about that matchup specifically. If there was a way that the Colts win, it's Jonathan Taylor, I think, having a big day.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to start with the D-line, though. The D-line is going to have to, because if it was a different scheme where the DN's catching Reed, did he tackle, catch, and read? Did not be different, but this
now they read. Now they just go.
Yeah, they just
been,
you know,
they've
just
all
go.
Love it. They've been talking
right,
it up
right.
all off.
They just go. So it's really going to be, can they get knocked back and you know, prevent Taylor from having lanes to run through? And if they can do that, then you'll be able to limit Taylor. If you can't do that, then good luck.
What would be like? What do you think their strategy will be versus Richardson this time? Since we saw only the two possessions and he was incredible, but like, do you think we're going to see a spy? Because like, we've seen D'Amico in the past. Like, I think to what Paul was saying earlier, if you look at the Steichen versus D'Amico when it was Philly versus San Francisco, Philly won that playoff game 31-7, and Jalen Hurts had a great day. Like, what do you view the Anthony Richardson key to slowing him down besides just backyard football? Like, do you put a spy out there? Are you focusing on just hoping to sack him as much as possible? What are you thinking?
I think you just hit him with a lot of disguise, and you just get him to think instead of react and play, you know, free-flowing. So if you're showing three, you know, you're showing cover three, show, you know, if you're showing cover three, but you're going to be in cover two, or let's say you're going to be in a look where you have everybody on the line of scrimmage and you drop half, you know, some people out of it, I think you just got to continue to show a lot of disguises at him. Because then, like, the one that when the disguises, it can mess up with the protection. So you could get, you know, free rushers or offensive tackles having to be kind of out of position when it comes to blocking Will or Daniil. Then, you know, if you're changing the picture on Anthony Richardson, if let's say he's looking right, he thinks this particular spot is going to be open. Let's say it's going to, like, maybe something in the flat, or maybe it's something like in a hole shot between Derek Stingley and the safety because he's seeing two, but then like Derek drops back and now he's patting the ball and what he thought he was going to be is not what it actually is. Then, yeah, you'll have a lot of success against him. Because the thing about him, like, he won't necessarily, like, run to scramble immediately. He's going to stand in that pocket. But if you can just get him, you know, when you start to throw disguises at him, that's only going to give your D-line more time to get to him. And then, because the longer a quarterback usually holds the ball, the more likely mistakes and trouble can happen. So I think that for the pass game. Because of the run game, I think they just got to keep it outside contained. Because most of his runs, obviously I think he had one that was in between the tackles. But the bigger run, one he got hurt on, it was outside the tackle. And I think a guy like Anthony Richardson is most dangerous when he can get outside on the perimeter versus running up in between the tackles.
ESPN Houston Texans beat reporter DJ Bien-Aimé with us in studio. Gallant and George, Joe George, Paul Gallant. I want something spicy. I want you to give me something spicy right now, okay? And we talked a little bit about what the Texans can do. But what's your spiciest Houston Texans take going into the year?
Spiciest?
Oh, yeah. Give me a little zest, you know?
All right. My spiciest one.
Give you a drum roll.
I think that I got two. I got Derek Stingley getting 10 interceptions.
10 interceptions. Let's go.
Woo-hoo! And I think by the end of the year.
So matter of fact about it, too. 10 interceptions?
And I think at the end of the year, Tank Dell's wide receiver number one.
Ooh, I like these, DJ.
There we go.
So Patrick Surtain got $96 million today.
Yeah, 24.
So you're saying that Derek Stingley Jr., next offseason, he throws 10 interceptions out there, he gets more than $100 million from the Texans already?
Yeah, I can see
that. Because that's basically what you're saying,
yeah,
DJ.
I can see that. I mean, you know, they're probably going to aim to try to get over 25. So, because, you know, when it comes to resetting the market, they're going to just get, you know, Sauce camp, probably Stingley's camp. This is just me educated guess. They're going to probably try to push it beyond 24 per. So, yeah, I could see Stingley getting 100. I think Sauce is for sure going to get 100. So, you know, if Sauce gets 100 or a little bit over 100, then Stingley. It's really between those two. Like, which team races to get the deal done first? Because the longer you wait, the more the price goes up.
You've been on the Derek Stingley hype train since before last year.
Yeah, since 2022.
I like this being the natural trajectory for him. He has incredible ball skills, so the idea of him getting a lot isn't that far-fetched. I do wonder if they will throw his way as much this coming season, because isn't that something that Sauce Gardner has sort of
Sauce
had?
Sauce can't catch.
Oh.
I mean, like, that's not really, like, it. So, I mean, I think if Stingley is following number one wide receivers, which I think at times he will, like, teams, they don't go in a game plan saying we're going to avoid this cornerback completely. So, if Stingley's following number ones, then he's going to – I think there'll be times where he will follow number ones, right?
We saw that was year. The thing last year where it seemed like they wouldn't let him do it, and then all of a sudden he did it.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you're following number one wide receiver, they're going to throw to the number one wide receiver. I don't necessarily buy the notion that, like, because they don't throw your way, you can't get interceptions. People didn't throw Revis's way that often or Richard Sherman's way that often. They still had years where they led the league in interceptions. So I don't necessarily ever, like, subscribe to, like, the whole notion that, like, oh, since they don't throw my way, I can't catch interceptions. Like, there's still ways to, like, bait guys. It's a skill, like, to bait guys into throwing into certain windows so that you can go and make a play.
And if the pass rush is what we think it can be with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you would think that there's going to be quarterbacks that from time to time are just throwing it up there because they're hurried and maybe don't make the best decision.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that a lot. So, I mean, like, I think it's set up for him to have that type of year where he can get, like, 8 to 10 interceptions.
I want to hear 10. Let's see 10. That. I want him to also play for 10 games, too.
He'll be healthy this year.
He's had bad luck to this.
I think, for 17 games.
I think he'll be healthy this year.
Why Tank Dell number one?
I think that the chemistry between him and CJ is going to override everything.
Like, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, like, they love each other so much. You know, and I'm not saying, like, CJ don't love Diggs and don't love Nico. Like, he does, right? Those are his brothers, too. But it's just different with Tank. And Tank can play. Like, Tank can play at a high level. So I think it's just that natural gravitation towards Tank at the end of the day.
I saw something. This was posted by at Texans Cap. Is a good follow on Texans Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the new average separation score metric from Fantasy Points Data. Yes, ASS. But Tank Dell's ASS, or Tank Dell's ass, is one of the best in the NFL in terms of separation score by coverage. And this graph shows that he is not only towards the top of the league in terms of being able to get separation against man coverage, but clear and away the best at getting separation in zone coverage.
Yeah. I mean, that's his game. He's always been like a separator. So the fact that he can do that and he's not going to get, at least to start out, he's not going to get the attention that, he's going to get some attention, but DCs are going to focus more on Stephon and Nico. So he's going to be able to get a lot more one-on-one opportunities. So, you know, this week I could see CJ throwing for 400 yards, honestly. 400, woo! You know, like all three of them eating. Because I just, they don't have anybody in secondary that can stop these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nico went, I mean.
They should have made the Snead trade, I felt, the Colts.
But, you know, Chris Ballard is a fraud, you know. Like, he's a
There we go.
So, like, he's not going to make the big move and the big, you know, acquisition to get who he needs to get to put this team over the top. Like, it's going to be like, he's going to give the perception like he's trying.
They're always the next team. They were the next team with Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
They're the next team with Snead. Like, right, they're always right, like the, right. Like, we were just there.
We were just there. They never get it done, right? Unless it's for a decrepit Matt Ryan or a, you know.
Philip Rivers.
Or, exactly. Or, you know, Carson Wentz, who, you know, Philly couldn't wait to get out of that contract and get him out of Philly after just extending him. You know
but he just signed with the Chiefs.
He did.
Patrick Mahomes could learn a thing or two.
Yeah, he could learn how to not throw your career into the toilet.
That is DJ Bien-Aimé. Catches work for ESPN. He'll be in Indianapolis for Texans and Colts. DJ, always a pleasure, man.
Yeah. Colts. Texans win week one.
There we go. All right. You called it. First one you heard it from. It is Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.